Be encouraged and challenged and lifted by the almighty power of the infinite God. We're thankful for that tonight, Lord. We praise you and we glorify you and we lift you up tonight. We pray, God, that you will be in our minds and our bodies and our souls, that you'll draw us together in a oneness and a unity to believe and trust you. We're looking to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's have another prayer. Get the mic to my wife. Have a prayer as we start. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to gather together here tonight. Lord, we're thankful for the fellowship of the saints. We thank you for the love we feel here. We thank you for your goodness to us and for your mercy. For another day of life, we thank you for your blessings today. We thank you that we woke up this morning, oh God, and that we were able to see the sunshine and hear the birds sing and walk about, oh God. We're thankful for the blessings you give us every day. Oh God, we thank you for life and breath and health, eyes to see, for ears to hear, for feet to walk and hands to work and minds to think, oh God, and ears to hear. Lord, we love you. We praise you tonight. We pray that you would lead, guide, and direct here tonight. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Pastor Nikki's on mission. I don't think he's going to be back here tonight, so we're going to proceed with Jesus helping us. Praise the Lord. Bruce and Marilyn are back home. They got home just about an hour ago. We, Debbie and I were up to the hospital in his room, and he wasn't there. Praise the Lord. His heart is back in rhythm. And we're thankful for all your prayers. And so we want to continue to lift this couple that have had such a great vision. But God's helping them, working with them. So Cindy, say a prayer for Bruce and Marilyn right now as they're trying to get rest. They're trying to stay back in rhythm and in his heart. And that everything will continue to work well with him.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your eye is on the sparrow, Father, and how much more, Father, these ones that love you, that serve you, Father, that you, dear Lord, would be with them tonight, Father, that you would give Bruce and Marilyn a great rest tonight, Father. We are rejoicing with them, Father. We are rejoicing that you are a great Father, that you care for them, that you're watching over them. So we ask, Father, that you would just help Bruce, Lord, to be stable, Lord, that his heart would stay in rhythm, Father, that you would help, Lord, with medication, Jesus, that it would be good, that it would not be too much, Lord, that he would have just the right amount of everything that you want, Father. We know, Lord, that you can make the difference even when the physicians don't know, Father. So we are thankful for that. We depend upon that, Jesus. I pray that you would give Marilyn much rest tonight, that you would just keep her well, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to have wisdom, Lord, about knowing what to do and what not. And I pray that they would let people know, Lord, what their needs are, Father. And, Father, we know that we can pray, and that is the most important thing, Father. So we just ask, Father, for your help, your care, Father, and we just thank you, Father, for all that you've done. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Take your red hymnal, number 430. Marilyn, are you able to come and help us? Number 430 in the red hymnal. Let's sing together.
In the love of Jesus daily let me go. Higher, higher, in the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious. Holy Spirit, take me deeper still, till my life is wholly lost in Jesus and his perfect will. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, day in Jesus till all conflict past finds me conqueror and in his own image perfected at last. Oh, deeper yet I pray and higher every day and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The children can now go to children's church and the ushers can come forward. We'll gather in our weekly missions outreach offering. And as they're coming to prepare, we want to be faithful that God is helping us in what He's called us to do. We're thankful for the reports we hear around the world and what God's done in our witness and in our writing. So praise the Lord. Come on up. Usher Seth, come on up here and say a little prayer, why don't you? And then you can help with the offering.
Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we had a day that was not so cold. And please bless this offering. In your name I pray. Amen.
Let's take our hymnal again, number 345. The red hymnal, 345, before Pastor Schulze comes to share a message with us. God's laid on his heart. 345. Is this the traditional? Is this the right one?
Play the original tune.
Okay, we're going. Yeah, we're not going to follow the notes on here. We're going to play the original tune, which I think most of us know.
Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Isaiah, the 64th chapter. good to see you tonight. It's been a while since I've looked at you from this perspective. You've been faithful, helpful, encouraging my ministry for ever since I started in 1977. Let's read our leading text for tonight. Let's read it in unison. Isaiah 64. Yeah, did I say something else?
No.
Isaiah 64, 1 and 2. This is a prayer. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down under thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, and make the name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. Father in heaven, we pray you'll illuminate the scripture to us tonight in a beautiful way that'll stir us up to move to higher ground in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I got this call a few hours ago from Pastor Nicky if I could preach tonight. And he still had a message in mind. I was going to preach last Sunday night at the nursing home. And I couldn't get to it last Sunday. He knew I had left over. How about tonight? And so I tried to get into that message, and it was dry. And I said, now, Lord, where do we go from here? And after a little while, he told me to preach on revival, worldwide revival. And isn't it interesting, this Sunday, a bunch of us are going to Parker City, 50 miles to the southeast, to attend a meeting that is sponsored by Revival for a Day. And here, some of you are not familiar with the background, but 1970s, early 1970s, I got acquainted with an apostle, Loren Helm, and God moved me 22 times in my life to get from Hamburg, Germany, my place of birth, to the doorsteps of Parker City, five countries, many states, to get to be with that man who has the apostolic call and has a mission to bring revival to the world. And you have been faithful letting me stick with him.
Amen.
There were 25 years where I traveled with him on the average of 3 months out of the year all over the world. Learning from him, learning how to walk from him, and also carrying his baggage and making flight arrangements, whatever goes with it. So my message tonight is, will there be a worldwide revival? We are revisiting the issue. And I have three major points. One is God wants revival. God can bring revival. And three, God will bring revival.
Hallelujah.
All right. Now, you're permitted to be skeptic. There are many reasons that could cause you to be skeptic. But by the time it's all said and done, I hope I convinced some of you that we're heading for great things. The greatest things are still ahead of us in terms of the history of the church. It'll blow us away once it comes our way. So, first of all, God wants a worldwide revival. We know God wants everyone to be saved. 1 Timothy 3:4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. Does that tell you that God wants revival? Come on, do I have to say it again? Did you get it? That God wants all people to be saved. Doesn't that take a revival, a great moving of God? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God gave his son for the world. Jesus died for everybody in the world. He rose for everybody in the world. And he wants everybody to receive the Holy Spirit. So a vision for worldwide revival should be held central in every church, whether it's a church of 20 or 20,000. Every single church, every Christian should have a vision for worldwide revival. So then, since God wants worldwide revival, do you want it? Do you want what God wants? And how much do you want it? All right. So, does your prayer life tell me that you want worldwide revival? Does your attitude tell me, your disposition, that you want worldwide revival? Does the way you spend your money and give to the kingdom of God reflect how much you want worldwide revival? Does the way you raise your children reflect a deep desire to see worldwide revival? Your activities in our corporate plan as a church. Jesus has been praying for worldwide revival since he made a touchdown on this earth. Where? Let's go to John chapter 17. I think I want you to read the scripture here. John 17, verse 20 and 21. Here is Jesus' high priestly prayer. I don't know who was there to hear it. Probably John. Somebody heard it. But it was really basically a private prayer, but to be published. John 17, 20, 21. Neither pray I for these alone, his disciples, his apostles. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe. You get the word shall? Which do not believe now, but shall believe on me through their word. Because I'm going home in just a little bit. But I'm praying for those that you will witness to, that they'll come to Christ, and you, on and on, the disciples throughout the ages, that they will be saved. Jesus is praying for worldwide revival, that they also may be one in us, that they'll, the ones in the future, coming in, will be one body, one church together with us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So let's stop putting our little church program ahead of God's mighty plan. And this is an amazing thing about this church. We know we've been really big, you know. But you let me stick with this man that had a vision for worldwide revival, travel with him. And this was part of the vision of the whole church. And you paid my expenses and his expenses. It was a wonderful time. So God's blessing us because of that. So now, but we have to acknowledge that 2,000 years of church effort has not produced an awful lot. Jesus prayed for it. The prophets predicted it. Here's the prophet's prayer going back to Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. Can you hear that cry out of the soul deep? Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. The mountains are the governments. Mountains means governments, nations. That the nations, the governments will flow down at your presence. That the governments of men would flow and melt in fear of his presence and repent and be saved. That the glory of the Lord might be revealed. Just before, while we were eating tonight, we watched the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, on YouTube. The glory of the Lord, the glory of the Lord may be revealed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes, God wants revival, a worldwide revival. Do you? God wants it, do you? Point number two, can God bring a worldwide revival? So, having looked at God's desire, now we need to look at God's ability. He wants to bring it. Can he do it? Can God make nations tremble? Well, I think you just read scripture. That was a prayer, wasn't it? Isaiah, oh, make the nations tremble. So, go to Joshua 2. Has God ever made nations tremble? Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Here we are. This is Rahab, the harlot. Begin with verse 8. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us. And that all the inhabitants, all of them of the land, faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt. So we have the answer to the question, right? Can he make the nations tremble? We don't just have to go by faith. We can also go by history. It's already happened once before, or more than once. Have faith. God can do this for America. He can make our nations tremble. The Canaanites were wicked people. Extremely wicked. So wicked, God says, wipe them out. Of course, unless they repent. Hard-hearted people. Adulterous, idol worshippers, witchcraft. All this stuff there. God made him tremble, the whole nation. Jonah. Wow. There wasn't even one godly person, not a one. As far as you can tell, not one godly person in Nineveh. No. Not one. The most wicked city. God says, of all the cities in the world, this one I'm going to wipe out. It's so bad I can't stand it anymore. But I gave him one more shot. He couldn't even find a man like Isaiah who had this passion, oh God, make Nineveh tremble. He didn't even want to go there. But God said, at least give him a short sermon. Could have been a 5-minute sermon. And he preached it. Preached the judgment of God. Then Nineveh melted, trembled. And the animals, everybody fasted and repented, and all got saved. All of them got saved. The whole city. Took several days to walk through it. It was so big, big city. Am I convincing at least somebody here? God can do it. He's the one that put the stars in the heaven, billions of galaxies in the skies by just a single sentence. And let there be stars also. And the whole universe exploded. Still exploding according to some scientists. God wants to bring revival. God can bring revival. He can do it for Kokomo. He can do it for America. He can do it for any nation. Ezekiel 37, go to that prophecy now. Some of you know what that is. Turn that mic off for a second here. All right, turn me back on. Ezekiel 37, There's a story of the Valley of Dry Bones. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. That's a good place to get depressed. Set me down in a cemetery. Cheer up, brother. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were many, very many, in the open valley, and lo, they were, didn't say dry, does it? Very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Uh-oh. He's a prophet. Man to walk with God. That's why I say I allow some skepticism on your part. This guy, probably closer to God than all of us put together, had some skepticism. He said, his answer is, O Lord, thou knowest. He had Nineveh behind him. He had another revival behind him. Revival in Israel. Israel came, you know, I just read you from the book how Israel came into Canaan land and they trembled. And there was a revival under Samuel the prophet, was a revival. He had this all behind him.
Right.
You'd think he should say, I know you can do it. He said, I don't know. So yeah, I understand this. I understand the skepticism. It hasn't happened for 2,000 years. But God's still alive, as much alive as he ever was. Hallelujah. So, what is your answer to the question, can the dry bones of Israel live again? Can Israel come back to spiritual life? These are the bones of Israel.
Amen.
Israel was scattered all over the world. They were in the diaspora. And so he says, O Lord God, thou knowest. No wonder God's words to Ezekiel 15 chapters earlier implied that even he was disqualified from being a man who could make up the hedge. 15 chapters back. God said to Ezekiel, I'm looking for a man who stands in the gap who makes up the hedge. And I found none. Not even him. Whoa. Embarrassing. I asked myself the question many a times. I keep asking, why can't I be such a man? Apparently I'm not. But I'm pressing on to get there, to be useful in some way or another. That keeps me away from doing silly things,
right.
Wasting time.
Amen.
From retiring, buying a motorhome, driving around the country, doing nothing. I want to burn out for God. Just the other day I was in prayer meeting there. It was a Tuesday morning prayer meeting, and all of a sudden my eyes happened to fall on this little, you know, we have a little book stand there, about a couple hundred books, and fell on a tiny little thin book. And it said, Getting Old and Being Useful, something like that. I said, that's for me. There's story after story of people, men of God, women of God, what they did in the 80s and 90s and the 100s for God. George Miller in his 80s began to travel all over the world and preach. I'm still reading that. Inspiring. I want to be a man in the gap. So anyhow, is that your statement, O Lord God, thou knowest? Isn't that the attitude of most of Christianity, most church people? Oh God, thou knowest. Who knows? May that not be the attitude of the Kokomo Christian Fellowship. We ought to know better. We're raised for revival. So, thank God, commanded Ezekiel to prophesy, and Ezekiel obeyed. And in his vision, we actually see the dry bones becoming an exceeding great, mighty army, spiritual army, prepared for war, endued with the Spirit of the living God. God wants to bring worldwide revival. God can. Now, God will bring, He will bring worldwide revival. There are many scriptures indicating He'll bring it. He'll do it. Let's begin with two of them from Romans. Romans chapter 11, 12. Let's go to that, please. I'm going to see my master soon. I want to give a good account of my stewardship. 11, 12. He's talking about Israel. Now, if the fall of them, that's the Jews, be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Verse 15. For if the casting away of them, the Jews, their record, their rejection of Jesus, be the reconciling of the world, what in the world, that's my addition, what in the world shall be the receiving of them but life from the dead? Since the gospel was brought to the Gentiles by the Jews rejecting Jesus. Jews rejected, we don't want this man to rule over us. And that made the gospel go to the Gentiles. Their rejection brought it to the Gentiles. And brought the first Pentecost. I say the first Pentecost. There'll be another Pentecost which will out-Pentecost the first Pentecost many times over when the Jews receive Jesus. What's going to happen then? If their rejection leads to the salvation of Gentiles, oh, wow. But the salvation of the world. Let me give you quotations from three commentaries. I picked these three commentaries at random. There's many commentaries on the Bible. These Bible scholars, you know, they study and know all this stuff and theology and doctrines and languages. The one is from one that John Wesley favored commentary. It's called Bengel's New Testament. In one sweeping sentence, he explains the whole business. He says, the conversion of the whole human race of the world will accompany Israel's conversion. I mean, that's way out there. You're waiting for more explanations, don't you? The next quote is from the Preacher's Homiletic Commentary. Quote, it's a little sophisticated. The casting of them away is a reconciling of the world. The view expands before his eager vision. The receiving of them is life from the dead, and a bright era is in their happy future. The valley of apostolic vision is not a valley of dry bones. The world is not to be forever a vast sepulchre, which it is now. Spiritual life shall animate the race. Moral wastes shall quickly become gardens of the Lord. Spiritual deserts shall speedily rejoice and blossom as a rose. Boy, it sounds good to me. Third commentary. Adam Clark's, one of the most popular commentaries. The restoration of the Jews to a state of favor with God to which the apostle refers and which is too plainly intimated by the spirit of prophecy to admit of a doubt, will be a most striking event. Their being preserved as a distinct people is certainly a strong collateral proof that they shall all once more brought into the Church of God, and their conversion to Christianity will be incontestable proof of the truth of divine revelation, and doubtless will become the means converting multitudes of deists who will see the prophecies of God, which have been delivered so long before, so strikingly fulfilled in this great event. They make long sentences, don't they? Got the idea. They all agree on this one thing. He says, we need not wonder that a whole nation should then be born as in a day. Now, what you answer the question, Son of Man, can these bones live again? Let's consider the teachings of Jesus. One would think that of all the parables, Jesus at least one parable that would point to the ultimate triumph of Christianity. Indeed, such is the case with the parable of the what? Mustard seed. Matthew, look it up. Matthew 13, 31. I don't know what's going on with me, but I feel like electricity is going through my whole body. Matthew 13, 31, 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. First, notice that this is not a parable of the church, but of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, shall be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Yes. Hasn't been done. Hasn't even begun to be done. Christianity as a whole has no, today, contemporary, has no interest in the kingdom of God. You know, I wrote a book on it. When I wrote my book on the Lord's Prayer, it has in there, thy kingdom come. I'll expound on that. There are 120 references in the Gospels alone, just in the four Gospels, to the kingdom of God. 120. It's one reference to the born again. 120. It's not preached. We have no vision for it. We preach the gospel, but not the gospel of the kingdom of God. When you're born again, the only place you can go to grow is in the kingdom of God. There's no other home for the Christian, no other home to grow. And so Christians, they got born again and they die because they're not going home to where they belong, the kingdom of God. But I tell you something, when the Jews get saved, and they will get saved, when we get that second Pentecost, they understand the kingdom of God. And they will preach the gospel of the kingdom of God all over the world. It'll bring a great revival. In the parable, the mustard seed parable, the smallness of the mustard seed represents the smallness of the kingdom's beginning. Sweet little Jesus boy. That's a little package. That's pretty small. Mary and Joseph were broke. Should have been the wealthiest. We're the wealthiest, potentially, people in the world. Small beginning. Don't despise small beginnings. As Friedrich Dr. Brunner said, the end will be glorious. Earth filling and Gentile embracing, symbolized by the birds and the branches spreading out. A little plant becoming one of the greatest herbs, branches, and the birds of the air will nest in it. It will put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. Now go to Isaiah 27:6. Thank you, Jesus. He shall cause them to come of Jacob, take root. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. With fruit. Jerry? Now, I should ask the gardener. Are you gardener? Does that mean you've been in Israel many times, right? 19 times? It shall fill the world with fruit, the Israelis. What kind of fruit? Figs or dates? Is that what it means?
Everything.
Spiritual fruit! We can get figs and dates right now. Come over here by Boeing 747, whatever. It's spiritual fruit. Dry bones shall live again, a spiritual army.
Right.
All Israel shall be saved. Prophecy will be fulfilled. Fruit from the tree. All right.
Amen.
So, as you notice here once again, Israel is implicated in the worldwide spread of the kingdom gospel. The church today as a whole does not know the kingdom gospel. Now, one more book to look at. What book do you think that ought to be we look at? Huh? Okay, that's good. In the Bible.
Revelations.
Last word, Revelations. What does it say about this? So the question might well be asked, after you read the Gospels, of course, particularly Matthew, you read about the gloom and doom of the last days, tribulations, disasters, backslidings, all right? Yes, so it will be. But of all this will not stop the growth of the mustard seed, putting forth its branches into every nation. Just got a new report a few days ago.
Amen.
What's going on in the Middle East? Christianity's exploding, absolutely exploding, and going all the way into Africa. By the thousands, people have come to Christ. And of course, these radical Islamists helped to spread Christianity. Like here, the bombing of this mosque in Egypt. More and more say, Muslims say, we want nothing to do with it. We had enough of this. Give us something else. Now, there's Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus looks better to them all the time. All right. Revelations.
Amen.
Now, Revelations chapter 7, let's go there. Revelation 7, we want to go to, Revelation 7 puts this all together. First, you have the sealing of the 144,000 for evangelism. Within the scripture, the number 12, along with the number 73, is the number of perfection, completeness. 12,000 sealed of each tribe multiplied by 12 times means nothing but the fulfillment of the prophecy of Paul that all Israel shall be saved and sealed to preach. They're going to preach. That revival comes. The Jews will preach. That will fulfill another prophecy. The day will come when 10 Gentiles will get a hold of a skirt of a Jew and say, Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about God.
Yes.
Amen. Hasn't been fulfilled yet. In this chapter, you then see the fruit of Israel's salvation by these words. After this, I beheld a low great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palm trees in their hands.
Amen.
Revelation 7:9. There it is. Let's look at it again. After this, I beheld a low great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and with palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. And they worshiped God. After this I beheld, notice those words, after this I beheld. After this refers to after the great tribulation, after much trial, there was a great multitude which no man could number of martyrs.
Amen.
Martyrs which no one can know. We are not at the point now. We've had, in the first 300 years, we had 10 major persecutions by the Romans. The estimates are from 10,000 to 1 million Christians were killed. I think it was probably less than a million by far. Millions have been killed since then, but not a multitude that no one could number. No, and not of all nations. It's going to come when the Jews begin to preach. They'll be multitudes coming to Jesus and multitudes being martyred for Jesus. Yeah, it's like the Matthew says, it'll be a turmoil by the great mighty work of God. So my friend, who's going to have the last word? The devil comes to the end when the time winds down, we're done. The devil going to be last when he's laughing there and say, gotcha. Or is God going to have the last word?
Amen.
Is he once more reveal his glory and then put the devil under his feet in triumph? Thank you, Jesus. So here in the Revelation, we have a vision of the worldwide revival. All Israel saved under the work of preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Revelation 7, verse 3 through 8. So God wants revival. God can bring revival. And what's the last one, number 3?
God will
bring revival. Have I convinced any skeptic? All right, turn it back to you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Let's take our hymnal, the red hymnal. Number 341. Marilyn, come and let's sing together as we meditate this challenge and this expectation and this vision. 341.
And now you see why Brother Helm went to Israel a year after year after year after year. Because he knows what God's going to do.
Amen. Let's stand and sing. Moments we're going to close, but before we do that, I'm going to ask us as a church to do something. I want to get a hold of this vision. I want to believe like this man believes that God's going to bring a revival, and it's going to encompass Israel, and it's going to save people around the world. And I'm going to ask us as a church, I'm going to ask us if you believe it and you want to pray about it, I want to pray together corporately. I want us all together, close together here around the altar. Just come on up if you believe it and want to be a part of it. And we're going to have a time of prayer because I believe it and I want to be a part of it. And I want to be thankful for the vision that this pastor has brought to us tonight, that he's challenged us. So I'm thankful that you can join me. I know I was in a church that my mom and dad attended, and Pastor Rodney Taylor, when he would preach his heart out, he would say, you know what would be really good if the church would all come up. And about 100 or 200 people would gather around like this, close, and pray that we get a hold of what God wants. God wants everybody to be saved. I want my children to be saved. I want my neighbors to be saved. Praise the Lord. Did you have something else on your heart?
This is great. We are between two great revivals and in between stage. The first Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, and one big one coming, the biggest one. We're in between the stage. We don't know when it's going to happen.
It could happen. Yes.
It could happen any time.
Praise the Lord. Tim, stand up and say a little prayer. Start us off, and let's have just a couple prayers. I just want us to be united here together. I want us to pray together. Praise God.
Lord, we want to stand here and believe what we've heard.
Yes.
Believe that your coming is soon. But we want to be part of this revival that comes preceding that.
Yes.
So each and every person shall bow before you.
Yes.
And pronounce the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus, for watching over us.
Yes.
For each and every day that we spend on this earth. It'll always be one day closer to the time
Amen.
Of your
Amen.
Coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we're thankful to be a part of the great kingdom of God. We're thankful, Lord, that the kingdom is growing within our hearts, within this church, around the world. We're thankful, Lord, but we don't need a few raindrops. We need a rainstorm. We need showers. We need a revival. We need a breaking out. We need Israel to be awakened to Jesus Christ. We need you to be preached in the churches universally. We need men and women to take a stand. We need to die out and die out and die out and stand up and believe and have the faith, oh God, that you want to save this world that you created. You created every heart. Every individual is uniquely and beautifully made in the image of God, and you want to draw them to the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. And it's possible that these dry bones can come alive. They can rise up. You can breathe fire into them. You can stir us and help us, Lord Jesus, to get a vision, a worldwide vision, a vision for souls, a vision for sanctification, a vision to hold on, a vision to run the race and never stop, but to run with more intensity, to run with vigor, to run in our age, in the new season of life. And so, Lord, we're praying for it. We're asking for it. We're believing, Lord Jesus, that you're going to help us with our vision. You're going to help us, Lord, to stand together. You're going to help us to believe together. You're going to help us to be on fire. Oh, stir up a flame within us, we pray, Lord, in your holy name. Praise the Lord. Anyone else want to pray? This feels like that God can help us in this area. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Jody and Brenda, next. Praise the Lord.
Father,
praise
God. Our voice before your throne. We're thankful, Father, that you gave us a picture over and over. I mean, mighty pictures. I'm thinking of Elijah when he prayed. He saw a little cloud. He had to pray and pray and pray.
Yes.
To a little hand, a little cloud. And here Jerry's praying, and that's all I could see and remember. So he kept sending his servant back and come back. I just see a little cloud. And he had to get up and run to outrun the chariot, Lord God, because the rain came so hard. So what do we need to do? We need to pray till we see the little hand. And Father, I believe that we're in the hour that people are praying greater than I've ever known in my 82 years of life. And I'm watching things that I'm seeing take place, both that's very, very wicked and very, very evil, that you said in these last days. That's the way it'd be. And I'm watching it multiply. But I'm watching your children, the remnant, that's crying out, Lord God, to thee. And I want to praise you and thank you, Lord God. It's not, do we believe it? I believe it. I believe you said it. I believe you declared it. So it's just when the season's there. And you've been waiting a long time for the season to get here, Father. You are letting the cup fill up. And so we're here tonight, Lord God, bound together to thank you that we believe it. And we believe that these dry bones are putting sinew on them. You've been doing it for quite a while. We're believing it because, Lord, we started a long trip ago going to Israel. There they had these beautiful pine trees and they all died. Looked like they done it for nothing. And what they did it for was because you wanted St. John's bread trees to grow in that land, not the pines. There laid those seeds all those many centuries. But up they came, bringing those trees. Lord, you're doing it. You're doing it. We thank you and we praise you, Father, that there is a mighty wind blowing. We can hear it in the mulberry trees of today. We can hear it. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, this breaking through a locked part of the whole world. And people are dying. I got word tonight, I couldn't even read it. It bothered me too much. And yet, Father, they're laying down their lives worse than any that I've ever heard of. What they're doing, but they're not renouncing Jesus Christ. So do we believe it? I believe it, Father, with everything in me. Do we pray for it? Every day. All the time. Why? Because you have one thing to fulfill. It's called the Feast of Weeks. And very few people know anything about it. They just think about Thanksgiving. They don't know why it really started and what you mean by it. But I do. I praise you and thank you, Father. It's the end time harvest. It's the last of it all. And it starts for 7 long weeks when you put the sickle in the corn. So we're putting the sickle into the corn tonight, Father. We praise you and we thank you, mighty God, that you would put a fire in every one of us, that we would cry out more and more and more. Because when you come with that rain, everything that's going to be righteous will be righteous. And everything that's going to be wicked will remain wicked. Now, we don't know how you're going to transform all that, but we do know that's your word. And we do know, Lord God, you're going to draw people in. We better be believing. We better be praying for the ones we want drawn in. If we're not doing that, Father, they probably won't be. Because you're going to cooperate with what's being prayed for. So we pray tonight, Lord God, that we would get a hold of this, read your word, understand you, understand what you're trying to do, and understand that there's a new Jerusalem coming. And so we pray, Father, tonight that every one of us here that heard everything Pastor Schulze had to say, everything that's going on right now, everything that's getting ready, Lord God, to go on, even with this waiting on you, that it all fits together for your plan, for your people that really know who you are, for the glory of Jesus Christ. So come quickly, Lord. Amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just lift up to you these 144,000, God, that you are going to raise up to speak your word and your truth into the world, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that you would reveal to them the truth of your kingdom, Father God, that you would raise them up, Lord God, that they may be wonderful witnesses for your power and your glory, Lord God. I pray for the spark that I have seen already over in Israel and Jerusalem. People, they are spreading your gospel. They are spreading your word. And they are coming into tribulation and they are coming against persecution, Lord God. So I pray, God, that you would just protect them, Father God, and just continue to work through them, Lord, and bless the endeavors that they do, Father God, Lord, and that you would just help us to help them, Father God, in any way that we can, that we can be servants to you and to them, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you for this time, Lord, that you have brought us to, Father, that we get to see this, that we get to witness these things, Lord God, and that we just get to wait on you in this. And I pray all this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I was going to close, but I just feel like we need to pray for Pastor Schulze and pray for your strength.
And before you do, Jerry, who's going to Parker at least for one meeting? Raise your hand up. Some of you. I need somebody to handle my books, to set them up for sale and whatever. Anybody volunteer, let me know.
Pastor, I'd be glad to do that.
Okay. All right. You got it then. Thank you. All right. Appreciate your prayer.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brad, you want to come pray for Pastor?
God's helping me. I had trouble with my eyes. I mean, just very bad. Seen a doctor a couple times. My eyelids would turn inside, turn around. You know, all the hairs going in there. No problem couple days.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
So let's just pray for all the health needs in the church. This will be our closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Pastor Schulze, Lord God. We pray that you would renew his strength like the eagle, and that he would soar, that he would run, and that he would walk, and he would not faint, Lord. I pray, Jesus, that you would work in his body this day, Lord. Take away any sickness, anything that is slowing him down, Lord God. And you know everything about him, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in him from his head to his toes, Lord God. And that, Jesus, you would help him in his eyes, that you would strengthen him, Lord. We thank you for this word tonight, Lord God, that you are speaking through your servant, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Jesus, to walk with you, to follow you, to obey you. And, Lord, that we would not lose the vision of revival, Lord God, and we thank you for this insight, Lord, and we pray, Lord God, that it would encourage us to walk with you, to desire you, and to desire the things of God. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we pray as we go that you would be with us, that you would fill our homes, our hearts, and our minds, and as we go home in our vehicles, Lord, that you would be with us. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Stay and help decorate. We've called for that tonight. Give it with Debbie. We would appreciate all the help.
Carry the boxes in.
Yeah, and some men to help carry the decorations in. You're dismissed.